Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
So, Jenny, when people study and do research on you and they see what you went through, I mean, you come from a background, you know, with great knowledge and expertise in your family. I think to myself sometimes, how did this state of health happen to you? And, you know, what slid through the cracks? What do you think it was? Was there one thing? Was it cumulative? Have you put your finger on it yet?
Yes, I think I've got a pretty good picture of it. And as I say in my Listen to Your Gut book, you know, especially for Crohn's, which is, like I said, you know, multi-systemic, there's almost never going to be just one factor. You know, for colitis, you could get a bout of that starts just from, you know, food poisoning or a really strong pathogen picked up in India or something. But for Crohn's, you're looking at a much more complex picture. And so the things that I tell people to go through their, you know, their lead up to their onset of their disease and look for are vaccination, antibiotic use, especially if it's not followed by full spectrum therapeutic probiotics, environmental and foodborne toxins, emotional trauma or abuse, and parasites and pathogenic microorganisms. And so most people, when they look at that, they're going to find a combination of those factors. And for myself, it was definitely, I was raised on processed foods, even though my mom cooked whole foods, and that's what she and my dad ate. When us kids were like, ew, I don't like that, she gave us, you know, deli meats and, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches made from processed cheese, and we had sugar cereal every morning for breakfast. Like, we had a lot of sugar. We had a ton of sugar, and you'll see that in people with inflammatory bowel disease. There's normally a sugar component in there. The second thing is I received multiple vaccinations because I was born in Nairobi, Kenya, and then moved to the States, and then moved to Canada. And with each move, I was fully and, you know, repetitively vaccinated. The third thing, because my father was a doctor and my uncles were pharmacists, I received antibiotics for everything that went wrong. So a cold antibiotics, the flu antibiotics, you know, it was the thing where it didn't really matter what you had. There was no attempt to determine whether it was bacterial or viral. It was just, oh, give her some antibiotics, never followed by probiotics. And then, and this is what I believe was actually the tipping point, was my home was physically abusive. So, you know, my father was beaten as a child, and he beat us less, but he was still violent with us. And when you live in that kind of fear, so emotionally, your nervous system never feels safe. That, I think, is the most damaging out of all the things that happen, because it puts you into that adrenaline, that cortisol flood, that, you know, stress response. You know, you're frozen in the flight, or, well, there's no fight when you're a kid, right? It's like, stand there and take it, or, you know, and you can't fight back. So it's probably the worst effects of stress when you're a child and to be, you know, have abuse happen to you. And if you look at the studies on people with IBD and IBS, there's a huge proportion of them have come from abusive situations. So that's, you know, definitely something people need to look at, and they need to heal along with fixing all of the physical things.
You know, Natasha, today labeling is a big issue in many grocery stores. They throw the word natural out there all the time, or natural ingredients. And I think what it does in many cases is cause a lot of food confusion. And many of these things are still just pretty labels on processed fast food and chemical-based foods. And I think that this is a huge place where a lot of these, you know, digestive disorders start. And people may even think they're doing the right thing. And you add all these other influences, like Jenny was talking about, stress and overuse of antibiotics and inoculations and you know, even households that were not safe and healthy. These things together with a diet that you think you're doing right, you may be heading for disaster and not even know you're going that way.
Oh, absolutely. I think the term natural has been so abused because truly something natural is what you pick out of your garden. You know, as far as I'm concerned. And even the word organic, as we have said on previous shows, you need to learn the definition, because I was shocked to learn when I had my team do the background checking on the use of organic labeling and even certified organic labeling, that, you know, up to seven natural, so in quotations, pesticides are allowed to be used in organic food. And people are not educated that organic food will have a heavier microbial load than regular food, because that is part of being natural. And I think that the ignorance regarding microbes in our daily food supply has to be eradicated, because we're beginning to understand the need for natural and getting chemicals and pesticides out of our food supply. But I think that when it comes to microbes and understanding how, you know, we're exposed to microbes on a daily basis is completely not understood, misunderstood, and ignored, when that's actually the most important thing that is happening to you on a daily basis, because the number of pathogenic microbes that are now resistant and very much evolved to become quite deadly is pervasive in our food supply. And I think the last week's show, we talked about the recall of frozen foods that had listeria in it that covered 43 states in United States and provinces in Canada. And people were shocked. How can a frozen food have a bacteria stay alive? And, you know, it's, again, it's this ignorance that people don't understand that bacteria are single-celled brains, and that the composition of the microbes in our gut determine the health of every facet of our life. And until we learn this and know that, you know, the more natural the food is, the more bacteria it has in it. And so this is part of life. We have to learn better sanitation. We have to learn better, you know, observation of this sanitation. And we have to learn how to improve the microbes in our gut on a daily basis if we're going to see a paradigm shift in our health in this country.
Jenny, as we change our diet during this process, when do you start to have the injection of organic and fermented foods? Obviously, raw food is a really touchy situation that you have to be careful with. Do you interject these healthier foods in depending on the state of your health? Do you bring it in slowly to not, you know, cause too much of a reaction? Or do we need to just stop and start something fresh and clean?
Well, what the system that I use in my books is symptom guided. So if you're having intestinal bleeding, you follow this diet, and it contains no whole foods and no raw foods. And if you have, you know, ulceration and inflammation, then it's this one. If you have diarrhea, it's this one. If you have gas and bloating, it's this one. So as the symptoms become less severe, you introduce more and more of the whole foods, and then at the very end, you start with the raw foods. Because the raw, as Natasha already pointed out, the raw are actually the most difficult for the gut to digest and absorb. So we leave those until the end. And even, you know, juicing, for example, which you go, well, that's an easy way to tolerate it. Again, it depends on the person. Some people can handle a little bit of it. For some people, even a little bit of raw juice will give them quite severe diarrhea. So you really have to just watch your symptoms and use them as your guide. But the goal is to get up to what I consider the gold standard, which is the diet, you know, that Weston A. Price, the dentist who spent 10 years studying indigenous cultures, who had no degenerative disease and tooth decay rate of less than 1%. And then he identified, well, what foods do all of these tribal cultures have in common? Because as Natasha said, we can get caught up in, you know, well, this is the latest health fad or the latest food trend. But if we look at where are entire groups of people who've been healthy, no degenerative disease for generations, what are they eating? That's really the gold standard. But, you know, as you pointed out, when your gut is compromised, it can't handle foods in that form. So you kind of have to go back to, some people have to go back to the equivalent of breast milk. You know, and I have a product that I formulated, Absorb Plus, that takes them back to that pre-digested state, and they have to start there. Now, for you who's healthy, you would not want to take this Absorb Plus product. It would be very bad for you because it's a highly processed food. But for someone who cannot digest or absorb any nutrients, it's like liquid gold for them.
Natasha, as this journey that, you know, Jenny's talking about and the changing over and the cutting out of all the things that are bad for us, when people start to introduce and interject their probiotics, the quality probiotics, and they've done their research and took to something that is going to make a dramatic difference. Do we start with a heavier amount at the beginning? Do we start slower? Or once again, do we tiptoe to find balance?
You know what? It depends. You know, some people respond to a higher dose and can take, you know, the oil matrix, the Healthy Trinity. Others, you know, when I started with Ginny, when she was on her journey, her body had grown intolerant to food and bacteria. So we had to start with like a pinch, literally like an eighth of a teaspoon, and build it up incrementally until she could tolerate it. So again, it depends on the state of what we call dysbiosis or dysfunction of the microbiota in your gut and what your sensitivity. You see, one of the things that's very important is that your innate immune system develops tolerance for certain proteins to cross the intestinal barrier. And since bacteria are mostly proteinous in structure, that's why your immune system sort of goes haywire when there's bacteria on the intestinal wall that it doesn't recognize. And that's a very simplistic explanation, but basically it's the establishment of tolerance first and then adding each bacterial strains at different proportions on a daily basis until that 27 feet of intestinal tract can come back to health. It's almost like a exercise regimen. You know, if you are in bad shape, you don't go and lift, you know, 100-pound weights. It would be ridiculous. You know, so it's, again, you know, knowing what to choose and how to choose and doing your research and getting the proper help, getting somebody who's been recommending the use of these probiotics for 10 or more years so that you know what you can start with. And your body will tell you. If you take too much and, you know, you're having a reaction, you have to back off. And then you have to ask yourself, was it the probiotic or something I ate? Because as Ginny well said, that going and reading this, you know, diet recommendations and, you know, avoiding certain foods and eating others may not work for everybody. So you have to do your own research and figure out what is the diet that works for me. But I am definitely opposed to, like Ginny said, going to, you know, on these all raw diets and eating everything raw. Because remember, raw means it has a heavy microbial load. No matter how healthy it is for you, whatever you eat that's raw is got this microbes, you know, colonizing, and you have to be in good health in order to be able to sustain raw, you know, foods.
You know, Jenny, when you look back, does this seem like forever ago?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think of it anymore. It's just not a part of my daily life or, you know, it's not something I even identify with anymore.
When you see people that come to you with in just desperate situations, can you identify with it? Are some of them to the degree that you were, and are most of them not as bad? Or are we seeing more of a like a surge toward people that are at the extreme level?
I think that most of the people who find their way to my stuff are more to the severe end of things, yeah. Because people will tend to do the medical route first. Just because it's what they know and what they're comfortable with. Or, you know, when you get really scared, you default to that doctor authority figure who's going to make it all go away and make it all safe for you again, right? So the people that tend to find their way to my stuff are either people who were brought up in alternative health homes or people who've already gone into the medical route. And by then, yeah, they're pretty severe because they not, like I said, they don't just have the damage caused by the dis-ease in the body, but also from the collateral damage from the drug treatment.
It's so frustrating, Natasha, when we hear about all this craziness going on out there. And I just wonder, is this a United States thing because of our standardized American diet? Are we seeing a lot of these disorders around the world? I mean, in other places as well, or equally?
You know, I don't know the percentages, but I know that in most westernized cultures, where the more the food becomes processed and the less people are in tune with the source of their food and how to take care of it, the more diseases we see emerging. And so I think they have similar problems in Europe. I think they have similar problems in Australia. I know they have a lot of problems with digestion in China, definitely Asia, and we need to get the stats, but I think it is a global problem. I think when the food was fresh and local, we didn't have these problems. And when people, as Ginny said, in indigenous cultures, learned from experience what to do and what not to do in order to maintain health, those things that those cultures learned are not passed on to us. And we selectively, when people write books, it's all about theories, and we selectively choose what we're going to include and what we're going to exclude. And then people think, you know, this is the latest fad, and I'm going to eat this way, but it doesn't always produce health, what we're seeking. So that's why, you know, Ginny has her recommendations for people who are fully compromised. You know, I just recommend a low-carbohydrate diet, you know, taking care not to consume too many carbohydrates. I you know, offer a free exercise pamphlet, and usually I just offer a trifold, because I have learned that when you get too complicated, people just give up. You know, you send them a box of stuff, and they look at it, and they say, I you know, I don't feel well. I don't want to deal with this. So I think the simpler we make it for people to start and tell them that, you know, their health is in their hands, literally. And, you know, that's why I'm happy to have Ginny on the show. And that's really why I'm doing this show, to let people know that there is help and there are people who still care and people who still do their research. And, you know, we will not, either Ginny or I or you, Jeff, make recommendations that we don't feel fully comfortable with and know that people can benefit from.
Ginny, if people wanted to get a hold of you or follow you, how would they do that?
Through my website, listentoyourgut.com.
Perfect. I'm sure you hear from people around the country. Do you hear from more men or women? Is this more men or more women situation, or are we split?
I'm not sure what the affliction rate is, but I definitely would have more women who are, you know, reaching out and getting proactive about their health. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, let's say the husband is afflicted, but the wife will be the one doing the research and then buying my book and telling him, you have to read this. And, you know, I mean, that's pretty across the board, right, that men tend to not be as attentive to their health. So
do you see a rise in the gastroenterological, you know, community these days? Because every time I have a friend that goes in for, you know, to see their gastroenterologist, they tell them, they have never seen a waiting room like they've seen in the gastroenterologist room. I mean, they are back to back. I mean, piled on top of each other. So I just was wondering if you've seen an increase as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just read a stat this morning that Canada has the highest rate of inflammatory bowel disease in the world. It's one out of every 150 Canadians.
Unbelievable.
And that's not irritable bowel syndrome. That's inflammatory bowel disease. So that's colitis, Crohn's, or diverticulitis. So, you know, absolutely. And the other thing that I've noticed from my readership and my subscribers is a great increase in the number of children.
Yeah.
So as Natasha pointed out, these things are hitting younger and younger and earlier and earlier.
We need to stay focused, everybody. We need to take this information and take it from the take it to the next step, actually, is what we need to do. We need to try to tune in as often as you can. And remember, you can go to the page and listen to the podcast shows that are already there. This is great information. And suffering with these problems is something that we tend to do for way too long. And sometimes we let these things escalate to a level that really gets completely out of control. We have to realize when things are not right, when something is wrong, get the diagnosis you need to get into your doctor, get your checkup, and then take control. Your diet, your sleep, your beverages, your exercise, quality probiotics, they're all part of the program. And you're going to have to remember that change is inevitable. But I think it's better when we're making the changes voluntarily than having them made for us. I think they'll stick a little bit better. And as you feel better, guess what? You're going to want to do even more. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you for listening, and stay well.